Jesus, I thank you for everything that you're doing in Harvest City Church. I thank you for just the pieces to the puzzle that you continue to bring us. Lord, I thank you for all the new people that are coming through the doors these days. I thank you for the lives that are being transformed. I thank you for all those that are finding you in this church and through this community of believers. And God, I pray that you would continue to strengthen us, fill us with your Holy Spirit, fill us with vision and with purpose and destiny. God, help me today as I preach your word. Fill me again with your Holy Spirit, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, last week I started a little mini series of messages with you that I'm calling Ready for Takeoff. If you missed last week, I'll give you a brief recap just to bring you up to speed. A couple of weeks ago, I was in Victoria. I was on holidays with my family, with my parents, and they had their motorhome, and so we were camping in a campground there in Victoria, and this campground had some beautiful walking paths right beside the campground, And I wasn't sleeping so well in the camper, on one of those table beds that's not quite big enough to really stretch out in, even for a little guy like me. And so I found myself up early, and it was actually fantastic because I had no excuse but to get up and walk these beautiful paths in Victoria and just pray and worship the Lord. And so I really tried to capitalize on that. And so I was praying for a number of things, but particularly, you know, as a church, the fall season, it's almost like a new year. It's the beginning of everything that we're doing as a church. Again, everything's getting relaunched. So I'm just praying and saying, Lord, what is it that you're doing? What are you saying to us as a church in this new season? And just sort of asking God for direction and vision. And one morning, I had a little dream, and believe me, I'm not one to have anything more than weird pizza dreams that make no sense and that I never remember when I wake up in the morning. And I don't remember much of the details of this dream either, except for a part where I was talking to someone about an airplane that I was observing, and I was seeing this airplane on the runway, and I had this phrase going through my mind, take off. And I saw this plane gathering speed on the runway, and as it was getting to the end of the runway, it was preparing to leave the ground behind, to go to a new level of power and distance as it flew. And at that moment, I found myself prophesying to this person in my dream that this is what God was saying to us as Harvest City Church. It was sort of strange, to be honest with you. I believe that Harvest City has been like that plane on the runway. Over the last few years, great things have been happening in our church. We have been growing numerically. We've been growing in many different areas. We've been gathering momentum. There has been an acceleration in many things that are taking place. But I want to challenge you this morning that this isn't it. We haven't arrived. We're just gathering speed. We're just gaining momentum. We've been building momentum, because I feel like God is saying to us, it's time to take off. It's a launching season. The runway is coming to an end, and it's time to pull back on that stick and to experience the lifting of the Holy Spirit, who is the wind beneath our wings. Somebody should write a song about that. I believe that God wants to elevate us. I just keep hearing that in my spirit. It's an elevation time. It's a new season. It's a time to adjust those wings to catch the winds of the Spirit. And as I was having this dream, and as I was sort of prophesying to this guy in my dream, I was thinking to myself, don't forget this when you wake up, because this is your next sermon series. And I woke up and it was on my mind, and so here we are. This is part two. Last week I began to discuss with you some thoughts on how can we prepare for the takeoff. How do we adjust the flaps on our wings that lead to liftoff? You see, it is the Holy Spirit that is the wind that provides the lift. We can't make anything happen in our own strength. But we can turn the flaps of our wings and catch that wind. There is always a partnership between God and his people in advancing the kingdom of God. We can't do anything without God, and yet he chooses to partner with us for all that he wants to do. And so last week I gave you two thoughts on how do we catch this wind? How do we begin to turn the flaps on our wings to prepare us for launch? And we looked at, number one, that we need to be a people who let our light shine. In the scriptures, we're told that Jesus is the light of the world, and then we're also told that we are the light of the world. Well, who is it? Which one is it? Is it Jesus or is it us? And the answer is both. Jesus said in John 8:12, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't walk in darkness because you will have the light that leads to life. Jesus is the light of the world, but if you are a follower of Jesus, then you have his light inside of you. The light that leads to life is within you. You experienced it. You found life in Jesus yourself, but that light is now in you and is to shine out so that other people can find the same light that leads to life. That light is to shine like a city on a hill. There is to be no off switch. And if we're going to elevate our influence, then we're going to have to choose to shine brighter. And we talked about that. The second thing we looked at was that we need to understand that we're already positioned. Paul was exhorting his disciple Timothy, and he said these words to him, preach the word. Be ready in season and be ready out of season. We discussed the fact that many times when it comes to shining our lights and proclaiming the hope of the gospel, we only do it during what we consider to be the in season. If you go to Africa on mission, that's the in season. But the challenge to us was to understand that often what we think is the off season is actually God's in season. His in season is often not ours. And we need to begin to understand that. God is always on the move. He's always looking for those whose light switch is turned on, that he can use for his purposes. Wherever you go, the kingdom of God goes, because it's in you. You carry the light that leads to life. That means that every moment in life has kingdom possibilities. That means that every situation has an opportunity for influence. Every situation has an opportunity for impact if we have eyes to see it and if we will live with that mentality. I give you a couple stories to inspire you in that regard. Today, in the time that I have remaining, I want to give you two other thoughts on how we can prepare ourselves for takeoff. So number three, we need to believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. We need to believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, I'm convinced that many people hide their lights because they feel powerless, or they feel like they lack gifting, or they feel like they don't have the ability. Indeed, my experience is that the enemy of our souls, the devil, works overtime to whisper his lies of defeat, his lies of discouragement in our ears. I believe that the devil has kept more believers grounded with his lies of inadequacy than probably anything else. If you're looking at your own abilities, if you're looking at your own gifting, then perhaps you have reason to doubt. It's a common mistake that people make. And many biblical heroes initially were limited by this thinking as well. One of those guys that comes to my mind is Gideon. You find his story in Judges 6. We find him hiding in a wine press, threshing wheat because he was afraid of the Midianite army who was attacking the Israelites. And so there he is in this place of hiding. You could say that his light was being hidden there in the wine press. And the angel of the Lord shows up to Gideon. He says, how are you doing, mighty warrior? And the angel of the Lord says to Gideon, Gideon, you need to go in the strength that you have and deliver the Israelite people from the hand of the Midianites because I'm sending you. Now, when Gideon heard these words, The words that says, go in the strength you have. He did a bit of a strength assessment on his life. And he determined it was nowhere near enough strength to rescue the Israelites. And so he says, Lord, how can I rescue Israel? My clan is the weakest in the whole tribe of Manasseh, and I'm the least in my entire family. You want me to go in the strength I have? Don't you know I have none? You see, when he heard the Lord say these words, he failed to realize all that he possessed. In the natural, he was correct. He absolutely did not have what it took. He didn't have the right qualifications. He didn't have the right experience. But what he failed to realize was that he was not doing this alone. The strength he had included all the strength of heaven's armies, because God was going to go with him. And so the Lord responds to Gideon and he says, but I will be with you, Gideon, and you will destroy the Midianites as if you were fighting against only one man. You're looking at this entire army and you're thinking, what on earth can I do? But I'm going with you, Gideon. And so that massive army, it'll be just like one person. It'll be nothing, because I'm with you. You see, church, if the Lord is with you, that's a game changer. If the Lord is with you, it changes everything. It took Gideon a long time to come to realize this, but once he got it, he took on a massive army with only 300 people, some trumpets, some jars, and some candles. And he absolutely routed them. He became a hero. But really all he did was believe in the power of God and took action. And by doing so, he adjusted his wings and he caught the Spirit, the wind of the Holy Spirit, and he rose to heights and had an impact that he never believed was possible. When I read these words that Gideon received, I'm reminded of the words of Jesus to his disciples in Matthew 28. He says, I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples. It was the same thing he was saying to Gideon. Go, I'm with you. He said, go and make disciples, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And he gives the same message that he gave to Gideon. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. He said to his disciples, I want you to go. I want you to make disciples of all the nations. How could 12 guys do such a thing? It was absolutely impossible. Mark records this commissioning with some added details. Jesus said to them, go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. Anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved, but anyone who refuses to believe will be condemned. And these miraculous signs will accompany those who believe. They will cast out demons in my name. They will speak in new languages. They'll be able to handle snakes with safety. If they drink anything poisonous, it won't hurt them. They'll be able to place their hands on the sick and they will be healed. Wow. And so we read and understand here from Mark's gospel that not only were these disciples to go and preach the word of God, but they were to cast out demons, they were to heal the sick, they were to demonstrate the power of God, and there was a promise that even divine protection would be upon them, that God would deliver them. Now, these disciples had no power to heal the sick, to cast out demons in their own strength. But they weren't going in their own strength, because Jesus had said to them the same words that he said to Gideon. As you go, remember, know that I am with you always. You're not going alone. You're going with me. I'm going with you, even to the end of the age. And Mark 16 tells us that as the disciples believed, and as they went everywhere and preached their gospel, as they let their light shine brightly, the Lord, the scripture says, worked through them and confirming what they said by many miraculous signs. Church, I want to tell you this morning that as the Lord was with Gideon, he is with you. As the Lord was with those 12 disciples, he is with you. It's not the end of the age yet. And Jesus said, I'm with you even to the end of the age. He's with you. And if you will believe that, if you will understand that you do not go in your own strength, if you understand that as you go, as you just adjust those wings in going, that the wind of the Holy Spirit will come underneath you and lift you and empower you, I tell you, you're ready to be launched. You're ready to be launched. I've seen this. I've seen this so much in Africa, church. One of the greatest things that's happened to me over the last 5 years of preaching the gospel in Africa is coming to a greater and greater faith that when we go, when we just obey the words of Jesus and go into all the world, it's at that moment that the power of the Holy Spirit comes underneath us. You know, I keep hearing this over and over from my African friends. There are some fantastic preachers in Africa. Oh my goodness. Some of the guys that I work with can preach me under the table. And they're not shy about sort of hinting at that with me. And they say to me at different times, we don't understand how you just tell the story of the prodigal son. I use this example because I preach a message on the prodigal son, and this one guy, he said to me afterwards, you did nothing other than tell the story of the prodigal son. A story probably almost everybody in this crowd has heard. And you told it and you made a little gospel application and they came running to receive Jesus. We don't understand this. I said, I do understand it because I don't go in my own strength. If I'm relying on my own strength, nothing's going to happen. If I'm relying on my own preaching ability, there's other preachers that can do it better than me. But God has called me. And when God calls you, he goes with you. And when God goes with you, the impossible becomes possible. And so when those people come running, I tell you, I worship Jesus. I honor Jesus because I say, you're great and mighty. I was nothing, but you're great and mighty. And what a joy it is to be used by Jesus. What a joy. When those disciples came back one time from preaching the gospel and they were like astounded there, Jesus, even the demons were coming out and the miracles, and Jesus, he was like dancing with them. He said, I know, I saw the devil fall like lightning. When the church begins to believe who they are in Jesus and go, I tell you, the devil, he has no power to stop us. He's like a little man, not a giant army. When you got Jesus, it changes everything. I love Paul's words to the Ephesian church. He says, ever since I heard about your faith, your strong faith in the Lord, your love for God's people everywhere, I haven't stopped thanking God for you. I pray for you constantly, asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give you spiritual wisdom and insight so you may grow in your knowledge of God. I pray that your hearts would be flooded with light. What's he saying? I'm praying that where you are blind, where you are in dark to the promises of God, to the power of God, that there would be a light that would break in on you and you'd begin to realize who you are. That's what he's saying. So that you can understand the confident hope he has given to those he's called. Joel, do you preach with confidence in Africa? Yes, I do. I don't feel confident behind the stage, but something happens to me when I step onto the stage. I become another person because when I begin to move, the Holy Spirit moves with me. And suddenly I find myself becoming bold as a lion. a light begins to shine. And I begin to hear the words of God. I'm with you. I've called you. I've anointed you. And Paul's praying for these believers. He says, I pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe in Him. Do you believe in Jesus today? Then I pray that the light of God would burst into your hearts and that your eyes would be opened, that you would understand that because you believe God, as Paul says, the same power that raised Christ Jesus from the dead is within inside of you. When we're talking about the light that leads to life being on the inside of us, we're talking about the power of the Holy Spirit. We're talking about the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. Come on! Church, I have so much vision for the future. I have such an expectation of what God is going to do through my own life, and I have such an expectation of what God is going to do in Harvest City Church, because I know something. If we will just go, if we will just turn the wings, we will catch the Holy Spirit, and the impossible will become possible. Why? Because we have the power of the Holy Spirit within us. Joel, do you really believe that this city can be transformed? Yes! Because the same power that brought Christ from the dead is within us. And as people are within our city in darkness and dead and in despairing and without hope, even as we heard Michelle's testimony this morning, she realized, I need something more. I need a hope that will sustain me. I need some answers. And she discovered that there is a light that leads to life. And she's being transformed. And she's just one of many. One of many. And there's so many more. And that gets me excited. It's this knowledge and understanding that has caused me to say yes to God in many areas of my life. It's this knowledge that causes me to dream big. It's this understanding that has always caused me to look forward with great expectation for Harvest City Church. Some might say to me, do you think Harvest City is more special than other churches in the city? No, I don't. Sorry, Joan, I don't. Any church that chooses to shine, any church that chooses to believe and to go because they believe in the power of God will see amazing things. Any church. I don't care if you're Anglican, Baptist, Presbyterian, Lutheran, Charismatic, Pentecostal. If you will believe what the Scripture says, if you will understand who you are, you can put all those denominational labels, could care less about them. You just need to know who you are in Jesus. And yes, there are some churches that will have no impact because they don't believe. There are some churches that have no impact because their light's not shining. They're afraid of the dark world. They don't know who they are in Jesus Christ. That will not be Harvest City Church. As long as I'm pastoring, it will not be. We will be a people of great faith. We will be a people with great expectation. Because we know that we don't go alone. We go with the power of the Holy Spirit. Church, when we begin to believe that and begin to go, I'm telling you, we're ready to be launched. We have a choice to make. We can believe and inherit the promises of God, or we can perish in unbelief. I know what I'm choosing. Leads me to my final point. Refuse to be a cynic. If you want to launch, if you want to catch the wind, you need to make up your mind to refuse to be cynical. You see, sometimes when things don't happen in life the way we expect them to, we get cynical. What are cynics? Cynics are pessimists about life. Cynics don't believe people act with good motives, so promises will never be upheld. Cynics believe that if you're foolish enough to trust someone, you're destined to be victimized. Cynicism is a dangerous attitude. It is often a symptom of disillusionment and bitterness in our own hearts. And the scripture warns against such poison. It says, see to it that no one falls short of the grace of God and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. You see, the Bible doesn't teach cynicism. The Bible teaches a love that always trusts and always hopes and always believes. One of the tactics of the enemy is to make us cynical towards the promises of God. Maybe we prayed and we didn't get the answer we were expecting, and the enemy comes and says, see, you can't trust God. Or something happens to us and the enemy whispers, where was your God there? Listen to me. Every follower of Jesus will hear these whispers at some point in their life. Sometimes they're not even whispers. Sometimes they are loud voices around us that mock us and ridicule us. And when you experience these things, I tell you, you have a choice to make. Listen to me, because this is brilliant writing. Your choice will determine your altitude. Your choice will determine your altitudes. The writer of Psalm 42 experienced these voices and these doubts. I've come to just love the rawness and the reality of this psalm. I know I read it for you a few months ago. But the writer of this psalm had a choice to remain cynical or to place his hope in the Lord. This is how it goes. I think this is verse 9. He said, I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? It's a cynical voice. Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony as my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, where is your God? The cynical voices are everywhere. He's got this thought, God, you've forgotten me. The voices all around him are taunting him, where's your God? And he's got a choice to make, and the choice will determine his altitude. And he makes this choice in verse 11. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why are you so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God. In other words, he's speaking to his own soul and he said, stop being cynical. Are you going to be a cynic or are you going to place your hope in God? I will yet praise him is his decision. My Savior and my God. If you read the rest of the psalm, you see this deliberate choice over and over. But I'm going to trust God. But I'm going to remember God. I'm going to remind myself of his faithfulness. I'm going to remind myself of who he is. What I've seen God do. Church, there are many things about God that I don't get. I don't understand them. His ways are not always my ways. In fact, usually they're not. But I know that his thoughts are higher than my thoughts. I know he's a whole lot smarter than me. I have seen enough to know that God is good. I've seen enough to know that he's faithful. I've seen enough to know that he is often at work in those situations that I don't understand. Sometimes in the situations that caused me the most pain or made me the most angry, God was doing the greatest work. And I couldn't see it. And so I choose to live my life based on who his word says that he is. I've just made that decision in my life. I'm going to trust God. I'm not going to be cynical. I refuse to allow cynicism to rule my thinking. One of my favorite bonky quotes is this. Someone said to Bonky, don't you have times in your life when you doubt even a little? And Bonky said, yes, I have moments of doubt. I doubt my doubts. I doubt my doubts. He's made up his mind, I'm going to doubt my doubts more then doubt what God's word says. And has he seen God do incredible things? You betcha he has. I've discovered that even in the presence of my enemies, God has a table that is prepared for me. That's what his word says. You see, the devil wants you to focus on your enemies and become cynical. And if you become cynical, you're going to miss the table that God has for you right in the presence of your enemies. God hasn't left you. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never leave you. Even in the presence of your enemies, I've got a feast for you. Right in the middle, there's a feast, a table for you. Church, I say this because sometimes when you try to move forward or believe God, someone who is cynical will tell you all the reasons that it won't work. When faith starts to come for the impossible, surely a voice will speak. We've tried that before and it didn't work. Cynical voices are everywhere. Sometimes they are whispers in your mind. Sometimes they come from your enemies, of course, but even from your friends. I know Christian people who are cynical and jaded. It sounds kind of like an oxymoron. Is that the right English? I shouldn't be trying to use big English words. I don't want cynical people in my life. I don't want those kinds of people around me. I'm looking for Joshuas. I'm looking for Calebs. Those who refuse to give in to doubt and cynicism. I want to walk with those kinds of people. I want to walk with those kinds of people that say, come on, we can easily do this. Because God is with us. I've made up my mind. I'm not going to sit in the company of the mockers, as Psalm 1 talks about. Those are the cynics. I'm going to delight myself in the law of the Lord. And in his law, I'm going to meditate day and night. Because if I do that, I will become like a tree that is firmly planted by streams of water. And everything that I do is going to prosper. That's what I believe. That's what I've chosen to do in my life. I refuse to give in to the mockers. I refuse to give in to the cynics. You know, sometimes when I get on Facebook these days, it just poops on my spirit. And I find myself being weighed down with all this and all that that's going on in the world and all these Christians that are supposedly turning their back on Jesus and this leader fell and that person is now denying who he said he used to believe in God and everybody's jumping in and the cynics are going and all of a sudden you get these thoughts of doubt and blah, blah, blah. And then I start thinking, hold on a second here. I have lived my life according to the word of God, and I need to remember what I've seen. I've seen the blind open, blind eyes open. I've seen the lame walk. I've seen lives transformed. Indeed, Jesus has transformed my own life. I've seen that when I build my life on the principles of the word of God, that my family prospers and my children prosper and my church prospers and those that come in contact with me are blessed and they begin to prosper because I'm walking in the light that leads to life. That's been my experience. That's my testimony. That's my story. So mock if you want. Be cynical if you want. Talk with your gloom and your doubt and your despair, but I will trust in the Lord. I will delight on His law. I will meditate upon it day and night. But the wicked, man, they're blowing like the chaff in the wind. There's no stability. But my life is built on a rock. And Jesus is the rock beneath my feet. The world may shake, but I will not be shaken. And I can go even into the presence of my enemies with joy, with a smile, with confidence. Because I don't go alone. I go with heaven's armies. I go with the power of the Holy Spirit, with the same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead. It's right here. And even in the presence of my enemies, we are in such confidence and in such hope that we stop for lunch and we feast at the table of the presence of God. Oh, church. Jesus, would you flood our lives with the light? Soul, why are you so downcast? Don't be ridiculous. Put your hope in the Lord. I'm out of time. Don't let cynicism keep you grounded anymore. Some of you need to choose again this morning to place your hope in God. Remember Peter? Scripture says he was working hard all night, fishing hard. Like it says he worked hard, caught nothing. And Jesus comes along, says, Peter, throw your nets over the other side. And initially there was a thought of cynicism in Peter's mind. And he says to Jesus, but I fished all night and I caught nothing. But it was like all of a sudden he went, yeah, but who's talking to me? But Jesus, if you say, boys, get the nets out again. If you say, see, Peter already was beginning to understand something. When Jesus goes with you, when Jesus says something, even if you fished all night and caught nothing, even if you've been disillusioned and you said, Lord, I've been working hard and I haven't seen the fruits of my labors, and everything inside of you says, pack up the nets, go home defeated, give up, quit, be in despair. There's that voice of God that comes and says, try again. Try again. Try again. There's always a voice of God that says, just do it one more time. 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 And I can tell you, church, that I have proven now over 45 years of living that just being faithful, just getting up and saying, okay, God, I've been working hard and I've seen nothing, but just because I hear you saying, because I know that you called me, I'm going to do it again. I'm going to do it again. I'm going to do it again. I tell you that those who are faithful will reap. Scripture says, don't get weary in well-doing, for you will reap if you faint not. Peter was ready to faint. He had worked hard. But that voice of God said, do it one more time. And he said, okay, Jesus, because I know that nothing is impossible, here we go. And suddenly the nets began to break. There was such a harvest. Church, listen to me. Some of you have been in this church for a long time and you've been working hard, and we've been living with this vision of impact, and the voice of cynicism will be right there going, oh, Joel, but we've been talking about revival for years. There's been greater pastors than you that have pastored Harvest City Church. In fact, he sits right there in the front row every Sunday, and we've seen God do this, and we've come this far, and we've been working, but where's this great catch of fish that they've been talking about? Don't be cynical. Believe. Keep working hard, church. Keep volunteering. Keep doing what you can do. I tell you, you don't know when those nets are going to break. But I prophesy to you, there is a day coming when the nets are going to break, because we are going to be overwhelmed with the harvest of souls. You ain't seen nothing yet.